our scripture for this morning is once again found in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We will read and share together the 17th through the 20th verse. Jesus, continuing to speak to his followers, said, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Here ends this reading from this portion of God's Word. May He add His blessings to me. There was a young kindergarten teacher in New York who was well loved by all of her pupils. She was a very outgoing person, and she met many of the parents and knew them quite well. So one day she got on a subway car, and as she entered the car, she looked at a man who looked familiar. And she nodded to him and she said, "Well, hello, Mr. Brown." And the man looked at her and he said, "Madam, I don't know you." She realized her mistake and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you was the father of one of my children." In her embarrassment from the reaction of the people on the car, she got off at the next stop. I think this is a good example that appearances are not always what they seem to be. We live in a society that is like this. We know, for instance, that there are imitations of all kinds. We've been able to produce imitations from anything. We have imitation butter, and imitation salt, and imitation sugar. It's not the real thing. And when we look at society, we see in our dress that there is imitation. It wasn't too long ago that the only people who wore denim were cowboys and farmers. But now we look around and we wouldn't say that everyone wearing blue jeans was a farmer or cowboy, would we? Now young people, we see them going to school in painter's camps. And we certainly wouldn't think that every teenager was a painter. And so we came here to the point that Jesus was trying to make, that appearances are not always what they should be. It's a very subtle point. We shared last week that he was talking about false prophets. He was saying that it was difficult to tell the difference between false prophets and real prophets. Then he added, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." But now he adds to this, and there is more to this than just talking about false prophets. He's talking about people in general. He gives to this a comparison, an analogy that can be used by people who are looking at those who are to be his followers. And so he begins to talk about trees. And he elaborates and he said, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." The comparison is not between a good tree and a rotten tree, because a rotten tree doesn't bring forth fruit. It's cut down and done away. He's talking about a tree that has fruit on it, just like the good tree, but there is a comparison that can be made, and that comparison is between the fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's the difference in the fruit that comes from the tree. And I can remember, in the neighborhood in which I was raised as a boy, one of the people in our neighborhood had several fruit trees. And all summer long, as we were playing ball and being in that vicinity, we would watch the apples as they grew. We'd see them ripening on the tree, getting more juicy and more delightful. And finally, in the fall of the year, whenever it looked like the apples were just about ripe, we would shimmy somebody out of the tree, several of the trees, and we would partake of the fruit. Well, there were two trees in particular that I remember. They both had nice red apples on them. And as you looked at those apples, they looked identically the same. But it wasn't until you took a bite out of each one of those apples that you determined one was sweet and juicy and the kind of apple you want, the other was sour and sharp. Each year you'd be fooled by those apples until finally you marked the tree and you remembered which was which. But the difference is what Jesus was saying. It didn't mean that the two apples were bad. It meant that there was a difference between them. The fruit was different. This is the point that Jesus is making. And what he's trying to say is that to his followers there should be a difference in the life. There should be something that is seen from the fruit that comes forth from the Christian's life. An unknown author once wrote, "A week filled with selfishness and the Sabbath stocked full of religious exercises will make a good Pharisee, but a poor Christian." There are many persons who think Sunday is a sponge with which to wipe out the sins of the past week. Now God's altar stands from Sunday to Sunday, and the seventh day is no more for religion than any other. It is for rest. The whole seven are for religion, and one of them is for rest. What this man is trying to say is that people should see fruit in the life of the Christian beyond the walls of the church. What do people see from our lives outside of these walls? Do they see the evidence of Jesus Christ and the fruit that should be there? But you know, as we look at this analogy that Jesus uses, that 20th verse is not singular, it's plural. "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know." And what is he talking about? If you go back to the 5th chapter, the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, you begin to see the fruits that he wants to come forth from our lives. He started out by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know their sins, those who know their neighbors before God." Because of this, there is that fruit that's being produced from their lives. Those that mourn, they mourn for their own sin and they mourn for the sin of the world. Those who are meek and strive to have themselves in control so that they can lead others to Christ and be in control. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, there is within the person, the being, the Christian, that hunger and that thirst that should come forth, that you can't be satisfied, you need more of that Word of God. Mercy, pure in heart, peacemaker. Jesus says these are the fruits that should be coming forth from your life. The analogy, the comparison that he's using right now is the summation of the whole Sermon on the Mount. He's summing it up at this particular point, and he's saying, after I have said all of these things to you, you add all of them together, and this is what should be coming forth from your life. You've heard me, now go out and do it. But we know it isn't easy. Jesus himself knew that it wasn't easy. The Sermon on the Mount is the hardest thing to live. Don't let anyone fool you. But Jesus knew that we could have the help that he was willing to give. He wanted us to have this help, and he offered it to us. But we need to realize that we should have a direction in which we're going. Perhaps it's like a young family, in which there was a young father and mother and a young child. The mother took sick and she died. And that left the young man and his little boy alone. Day after day, that little boy would ask his dad, "Daddy, when is Mommy coming back?" He would always answer him and say, "Soon. She'll be back soon." Then one night he was lying in bed, it was after midnight, and he couldn't sleep. He heard the pitter-patter of little footsteps as they came down the hall. And his door opened and the little boy said, "Daddy." He said, "Yes, son." He said, "Can I crawl in bed with you?" He said, "Sure." Little boy crawled in bed beside his dad. He lay there for a while, and then he said it and asked the inevitable question, Daddy, when's Mommy coming back? And at this point, the man was frustrated, his wife. He lashed out at a little boy and said, your mother's never coming back. She's dead. The little boy began to cry. In a short period of time, the boy stopped crying. He asked him the question that he had asked him every other time that he had called his dad with him. He said, Daddy, is your face toward me? And he said, yes, son, my face is toward you. Then the little boy replied, as he always did, well then, Daddy, I can go to sleep. A short period of time, he heard the boy deep and breathing, and he knew that he was sleeping. He got out of bed, and he went over to the window, and he stood looking out into the darkness of that night, thinking of all the things of his life. And he looked up into that clouded sky, and he said, Father, is your face toward me? Is there something between us that needs to be removed? So I can see your face, and you can see mine. How is it between us and our Father? Could we say that our face is toward Him, that His face is toward us? Is God seeing the fruits coming forth from our lives as He should? If we're trying to be what He wants us to be. Jesus summed it up. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know. Let us pray. Father, as we have studied this Sermon on the Mount, we see that week by week it becomes more difficult to live. We know there isn't a one of us could ever stand before you and say, I've done all of that. I've lived as I should. I've been what I should. But Father, we ask that this day our face may be toward you. That your face may be toward us because we're striving to live as we should. Let us so live, Father, that the future day, the fruits may come forth as they should, that they may be distinguished for what they are, that people may truly see Jesus Christ in each one of us. Thank you, Father, for the revelation that He has given. But we also thank you for the times when we can look at this. And it makes us really look at our lives and question where we are. So, Father, we pray that this day you would open each of our hearts, that we may get that message, and then we may come forth and show the fruit that should be written as we seek to serve Him. For we ask it in Jesus' name.